This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Welcome back. This is episode 453 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented to you by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with SGR.
Okay. He's back. Okay.
Opening day is in the books. The Yankees pulled out a 4-2 victory, and I got my boy SGR with me here today, so this is going to be a special episode.
It doesn't get much better.
No, it doesn't. Sem couldn't join us tonight. We wanted to get an opening day episode out for everybody on Friday morning, but he's on his way back from Yankee Stadium. I haven't talked to him yet to see if he expired watching Devin Williams pitch in the ninth inning there, but I was almost going to write a nasty tweet saying, hey, you're the reason why the Yankees changed their 50-year-old beard policy, and this is how you treat us here?
Now, listen, he would have blown that save had he been clean-shaven. Christian, got that right.
But Devin Williams did pull it out there in the ninth inning. He made a sweat for sure. But yeah. I had read somewhere that March/April was the highest ERA month of his career, which is 2.60, which I think you'd sign in blood for his monthly ERA to be 2.60 every month, because that's pretty damn spectacular if you really think about it.
Yeah, because his career ERA is 1.83.
Exactly. So it's almost like a full run higher than any other month in his career. So, I mean, we're working out some hiccups there. And they did mention on the broadcast that if any team was going to know how to lay off that changeup and know what his tendencies are, it would be the team he spent 5 years with. So the Yankees did get through it. They did pick up a 4-2 victory, and we're excited that the season's underway here. And we'd be even more excited is after you're done listening to this podcast, if you stop listen on your favorite podcast platform that you're listening to us on, subscribe to this show and leave us a 5-star rating or review. Subscribing is going to be more important than ever now that the season is started, because we will not have a set schedule. It's kind of going to be when the Yankees are off. If there's a day game, we'll record at night. You know, there might be multiple shows come out in a week, so we don't want you to miss anything. Make sure you subscribe there, and we will not be on NYY Underground this week, as Pete is literally wrapping up game season and heading to New York for NYYU Day in the Audi Club on Saturday. But, you know, as always, please subscribe to NYY Underground. I had a great time being with all the boys from NYYU on Tuesday doing our season preview. So if you haven't checked that out yet, head on over to NYYU after you're done listening to this and check that out as well.
Yeah, that was a great show. You guys have a good little rhythm going now, the four of you.
Yeah, you know, we've been together. It's going on three or four years now. I don't even remember when we joined NYYU. So,
and it's good because you guys are jumping all, like, different points are being made too. So that was a really good show. I fell asleep. It was a little late, and I was a little sleepy, but you know,
I don't blame
great
you.
Great episode.
I was dragging a little bit there towards the end. I'm an old man now, and you know, when you start pushing 10 o'clock, it's
now that's my thing, dude. I fall asleep to podcasts.
Gets a little iffy there.
My little lullaby.
I do want to. We did get into Devin Williams a little bit, but I do want to actually start the show on a somber note here. We've had a lot of fun with Brett Gardner and you impersonating him through the years on this show, and it would be remiss of me, and actually, I would feel terribly if I didn't offer my deepest condolences to Brett and his wife Jessica and their son Hunter on the loss of Miller Gardner. I mean, it's a story that everybody's heard this past week. Kid was only 14 years old and he passed away while they were on vacation in Costa Rica. It's just, as a parent, it's your worst nightmare. It's something that you never, ever, ever, ever want to go through. You should never have to bury your child in just a... And it's just a terrible situation. Is that the last I heard is they're still trying to get him out of the country. So it's like you can't even properly say goodbye to your son because you were, and you're trying to find out exactly what happened to him. There's been so many conflicting reports of what happened. But at the end of the day, a father and a mother lost their son, a young son at that. And it's just a terrible story. And Brett's been such a big part of the show and a big part of our Yankee fandom that my deepest condolences go out to him and his family. And I just feel so terribly for him, not only as somebody that we've watched and rooted for, but as a father. I just feel so terribly for him and his family. So rest in peace, Miller, and we'll dedicate the show in your memory.
Absolutely, man. What a tragedy. I can't imagine going through that. You just hope that, and my condolences to that. To Brett and his family, you just hope that one day they can wake up and this is not on the forefront of their minds. Because I just what an unbelievable thing to have to go through. I can't imagine it. Just as worst case of a scenario as possible. It's really, really terrible.
So now we segue back into baseball and fun. I mean, if you want to uplift your spirits a little bit, Juan Soto did strike out to end the game for the Mets today.
Terrible final swing, too. He didn't do that in pinstripes.
I immediately switched over to the Mets after the Yankees were done, and Soto just walked in the eighth inning. The Mets were down 3-0. They had a little rally going. Soto, Pete, and Vientos walked with two outs. And then Nimmo, you know, because he's another one that likes to run his mouth there, couldn't cash in on the rally. And then in the ninth inning, the Mets had the bases loaded with nobody out. And their nine hitter struck out. And then Lindor hit a sac fly. But you'll take that any day with a 3-run lead with bases loaded and one out in the ninth inning. And then Soto came up and he was up in the count 3-0. And it really looked like Hader wanted no part of him at all. And then he threw the most garbage get-me-over slider I've ever seen in my life. And if Soto wasn't sitting on that, the Mets would have won the baseball game, or they would have at least taken a lead at that point, because that was such a garbage pitch that he must have known that Soto was just going to sit on it and take it, because it really did look like Hader wanted no part of Soto and he was going to try to go after Pete. But then he got the strike, and it got him right back in the count. And then Soto swung and missed at a high fastball. And if we all remember the Hunter Gaddis at bat. That was one of the few high fastballs that Juan Soto actually got to last year. That was really Juan Soto's kryptonite, was high fastballs. He loved to go after them, and he very rarely got to them. But if you really remember that Hunter Gaddis at bat, that ball came down a little bit right into the hitting zone. It wasn't nearly as high as the ones that we saw Soto miss throughout the entirety of 2024, but he missed it. And then, my goodness, he went from a disgusting garbage slider to just a straight nasty slider to get Soto chasing. And the Mets lose on opening day. And, you know, Clay Holmes didn't have a good start either. He allowed 3 runs over 4 2/3, walked a bunch of guys. So
yeah, walked 4, gave up 5 hits.
I know this is not a Met
podcast.
Not
that I looked it up or anything. I didn't look it up.
It's not a Met podcast, but, you know, we're keeping track on how former Yankees are doing around the league. And, you know, Juan Soto was the reason why the Yankees won on opening day last year. I'm just saying. Against Houston, in Houston.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not trolling. I'm just stating facts, Ryan. That's all I'm doing right now.
That's all you're doing. It's, you know, it's one game. One game. You can't really hang too much. He did get on base, what, three times in that game as well. Yeah. So there you go. It's Juan Soto doing what he does best.
He's going to be great this year. I have no doubt about that. Clay Holmes, on the other hand, I do not think he's going to be great for the Mets. I don't think he's going to be terrible. I don't think he's going to be like, oh my God, get this guy off the team, terrible. But I don't think it's going to be like, oh my God, David Stearns is a genius move either.
And you think he's going to be in the rotation for the year? Like, he'll last the whole year as a starting pitcher?
I think he'll be decent enough. I really do. And they're back in their bullpen. Their bullpen is pretty set. You're paying the guy $15 million a year. You're not going to put him in to be, you're not going to drop him out of the rotation to be like your seventh inning guy.
Right.
Or he's getting, or maybe not 15, it might be a little high, but he's getting paid in that range, like $10 to $15 million a year. So that would be a waste of money to have him longer.
He's at
be
13 mil a year.
13.
Years,
I knew it was maybe. I knew it was higher than 10, but 15 did sound a little high. So they're paying him to be a starter. You know.
Yeah.
Top closers are making around that. So, and we all know he's not a top closer.
And then you saw the game from Hader. It was pretty much identical to what Williams did for the Yankees today. A 3-run lead, 35 pitches, gave up one run, but still secured the save. So
let's switch back to the Yankees here. And since we're on closers, and we did start the show with Devin Williams, and then I guess we'll kind of work our way backwards throughout the game here. Did today's outing from Devin Williams put any concern in you regarding him this season?
You can't be concerned after that outing. One, like you said, he went against his former team, so the emotions are high there. Two, he's making his Yankee debut, so there's that. And you did see some semblance and some calmness come over him after around pitch 24-25. He started really nailing the low end of the zone. But the one thing, though, it does kind of like, you almost have like a premonitions with this guy. Like, I could really picture him having some rough outings at Yankee Stadium, one-run games where he just leaves that ball a little bit up, and that right field against the lefty, it's going to be
unforgiving.
Yeah, it's unforgiving. So I could see it's almost like a little, just like, uh-oh. But I'll keep going with that. He just has to really, it's that changeup. When he spots that, he's untouchable. If he can keep that in the zone and then dip it out of the zone to keep them guessing and swinging over it, he's incredible. It's that fastball that just kind of scares me, because as a hitter, they have to kind of just be waiting for that pitch, because when he leaves it there, it's right there for you to hit and to not be fooled by that filthy changeup. But that's obviously extremely hard to do. But I'm not concerned.
His fastball is to just change your sight line.
That's all it is.
For the changeup. It's not for the change. It's not to get you out. It's not a terrible fastball, but it's not an elite fastball. I think it was around 93, 94 today, which, I mean, we know guys can throw upper 90s into the hundreds, especially in the closer's role. So it's not a special fastball. He's using it to just kind of change things up to get to the changeup after he's maybe thrown three or four of them and show you something different. But, I guess fans are going to want to overreact to one outing. But, listen, he got out of it. He had a 3-run lead, and he protected it. I mean, that's kind of what his job is there. And, again, like you said, he pitched against his former team on opening day. There's a lot of emotions there, which, I don't know, maybe scares you come October. We saw how he gave it up against Pete, against the Mets last year. So, I don't know. But as far as you want to say this means he's going to be terrible this year? I don't think so. I still think he's going to be one of the top closers in baseball. And not everybody's going to be able to lay off the changeup like the Brewers were seemingly doing this year, because not everybody's going to really be able to be like, oh, we saw this guy pitch here for 5 years. So I'm not totally worried about it. I am mad at him, though, because it's day one. I don't need my blood pressure to spike on the first day of the season. We were up 4-1. There was no reason to do that to everybody, Devin.
He just wanted to fit into being a Yankee closer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's kind of been the MO of Yankee closers since Mariano Rivera to literally cause heart attacks in the fan base. So, you know, he's going to fit right in, and I think he'd be really good. And for whatever reason, he struggles. You know, you got Luke Weaver there. The Yankees don't really owe him anything because he's in his walk year. It's just, you would hope that it does really seem, and they even mentioned this on the broadcast today, that this whole beard policy was changed because of him and his comments, that he would be elite, that you don't want to come here. Team changes the policy they had in place for 50 years, seemingly because of you, and then you don't perform. So there is a lot of pressure
yeah,
on him.
Yeah, that is added pressure for sure.
So, but I'm not going to make a grand statement of saying, oh, he's going to be terrible this year. I still believe the Yankee bullpen is going to be the strength of this team. And we saw it with Tim Hill getting out of the gym in the sixth, Mark Leiter plopping those big Leiter balls on the mound in the seventh, and then Luke Weaver doing his
thing. Just like his uncle told us.
So I'm not worried about the Yankees or their bullpen. And we talked about this on the NYYU preview show. The Yankees have another basically full bullpen in waiting and guys injured with Jake Cousins and Ian Hamilton and Jonathan Loaisiga and JD Brubaker. They have a bunch of guys in waiting. So if any of these guys, like, you know, Hendricks made the team, and Yoenis Gomez, and, Ryan Yarbrough, who I like the signing, but, you know, if he doesn't, you know, pan out, there's a whole slew of guys waiting in the wings to come. So I don't think that this bullpen is going to be an issue at all this year for the Yankees.
No. Scott Efros, too, another guy he's hurt.
Yeah, he's another one, but I didn't mention him because
he's a down-end guy. He's got to prove himself first.
I would be more surprised if the Lord and Savior himself, Jesus Christ, threw an inning out of the bullpen this year for the Yankees than Scott Efros did.
All right. He came back for a little bit last year.
Yeah, and then what happened to him?
Touché. Fair point.
But to go back to the point about the bullpen, that's what Brian Cashman seemingly does well, is he finds these guys. I mean, look at what Tim Hill was with Chicago, and then look at what Tim Hill was with the Yankees. Look at what Luke Weaver was before he came here. Now look at Luke Weaver with the Yankees.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you brought up Tonkin the other night, too.
Michael, the Hockey Tonkin man. I mean, he was great here for a while, and, Ian Hamilton was a knockaround guy. He's just another guy that's got to stay on the mound. Jake Cousins. These are guys that the Yankees seem are able to tap into their abilities. Just some of them need to stay on the mound. And if they don't, then they got this replacement crew coming. Or, you know, that's the one thing you do trust Brian Cashman with, is to find somebody to pitch these innings in the bullpen for the Yankees.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, that's my specialty, Christian. I haven't done that one in a while.
That one tickles the throat, right?
Yeah, it gets there. It's kind of like the didgeridoo, that instrument. That's just like, oh, that's what I sound like, apparently. That's what they say.
But moving along here, we got to give Carlos Rodon a lot of credit here for today's performance. I am one of the bigger Carlos Rodon critics out there. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him, and I probably can't throw him far at all. But he did his job today, man. He was really, really good today.
He did his job. His fastball looked good. Apparently, his fastball dipped a little bit after that scuffle at first base. He was kind of a little bit less velocity for a little bit after that. So we'll keep an eye on that, I guess. But You know, I love that the fastball 95 was definitely something I need to see from him every outing. And then just his demeanor seemed like he was more in tune. He wasn't, you know, going crazy after a good couple of innings, and he kind of paced himself more emotionally, and it seemed to work out in his favor. I hope this is a new version of Rodon. As much as I love that type of player, that emphatic type who shows that emotion, it does seem like, at least in pinstripes for him, it seemed like that was almost out of fault. So if he can kind of be this ace and kind of have that approach towards, you know, being the leader of this rotation for this year, and it's a big, you know, big shoes to fill, obviously. I mean, you got to love what you saw from him today. And I hope, again, we're the kind of fans, because I'm on board with you. I'm not the biggest fan of Rodon right now. Prove us wrong and we'll be ecstatic, and we'll say that we were wrong, because, you know, that's exactly what we hope for.
This is the Carlos Rodon the Yankees desperately need this season. They need this guy to give them 30 more starts like this year. And I know they're not probably going to be all this good, but give me 25 in this realm here, man. And, you know, I'll stop talking about you, because it all goes on what you do when the team faces adversity in the biggest moments. You know you've lost Gerrit Cole. You know you're not going to have Heal for a couple months. Boone said that he expects Schmidt back by mid-April. I never take the good end of Yankee, on these timetables for their injuries. I never take the good end on it. So I think it's probably going to be closer towards the back end of April, but still, you know, you're probably looking at 3-4 weeks without Schmidt. You were one of the stalwarts of this rotation. You were one of the guys that were counted on to be here regardless of who was injured. You know, you were probably going to be the fourth star. I would say Rodon was probably going to be slotted in fourth had everybody been healthy. It would have been Cole, Fried. I would assume Heal, maybe because the Yankees wanted to go left, right, left, and they really can't do it now, so they have to go left, left with backing up Fried in game two. But it was your, and then it would probably have been Rodon four, and I think Schmidt would have been five. You were one of the guys that was supposed to be here. Now you're being asked to step up into an even bigger role, the role that they envisioned for you when you got here. And this was a good first step for Carlos Rodon today. The Yankees needed to go out there and just kind of quiet the storm, because I don't want to say that some fans are, I will say this, some fans are overly optimistic and some fans are too pessimistic. I'm kind of sitting in the middle with this team. I don't think they're a World Series team right now, but I also don't think that this is a garbage baseball team. I still think this team is going to the postseason this year. As of right now on opening day, March 27th, we still have to see, you know, what Cashman does at the deadline and all that stuff. But I don't think this is a bad baseball team. And I don't think the team that we watched today, if you watched this team today and said this is a bad baseball team, I don't know what you watched, because I think this is a much improved in certain areas team. Because if you look at some of the plays that Jazz Chisholm made today,
yes,
maybe this game gets away from the Yankees, because yes, he made at least two plays. And I'm not taking a shit on Gleyber Torres, but he was not a good defensive baseball player, and we know that. There's at least two plays in this game that Gleyber Torres doesn't make that could have spiraled innings for Carlos Rodon. So he got two outs from Jazz Chisholm that he doesn't get from Gleyber Torres. And that can't be understated. When you're trying to get deep into ball games, any outs that you can steal, any outs that you can get that maybe you shouldn't have gotten, that helps you get deeper into ball games. And that settles you down knowing, hey, my defense has my back. And Jazz showed that he is going to be a premier second baseman this year. You know, that one play that he made where...
Earlier, the first one he...
The second one really stood out to me, because that showed his athleticism.
Yeah, it really did.
Because he's going to cover second base, stops on a dime, pivots back to get the ball in the hole, and still has enough on the throw to get the runner. And again, I'm not taking a dump on Gleyber, but Gleyber doesn't even get back to that baseball.
No, it goes right through. No, and not a dump at all. It's just now, you know, it's one game, but that does look like something that could be a major factor for this team defensively. You know, and as far as like why it does, because I feel like in the middle too. I'm not overly optimistic or pessimistic, and it's just because of all the question marks that we have. But they are, I lean more towards optimism with a lot of them, and you saw it today what it's going to take. You know, if Volpe continues, then they'll be fine. If Wells can be a leadoff hitter, then they'll be fine. If Rodon can step up, then they'll be fine. If Goldschmidt can find it, you know, Bellinger, it's all, a lot of ifs, but there are a lot of positive ifs where, especially after you watch today, like Bellinger, I almost feel like Bellinger's going to sneak into this, you know, career here with the Yankees where you're not really...
You won't be paying attention to him.
No, and you should be.
In September.
Right. It's interesting to me that it doesn't feel like has any sort of spotlight on him. I don't know why that is. I guess it's more of just how he's kind of regressed in a way.
It's also because of how he carries himself. He's very quiet.
Yeah, nonchalant.
And you got to remember that it's not even in our minds. This is the replacement for Juan Soto.
Right,
the Yankees needed another left-handed hitting outfielder after Soto departed, and this is the guy they went and targeted and got. And then you look at the two personalities of these two guys. He is going to really fly under the radar this year. And I think it's a good spot for him, number one, that there's not a ton of pressure on him. He's not being brought here. You know, it's weird to say that he's been here he was brought here to replace Juan Soto, but then also say that he's also not being brought here to be the savior of the team. He's just being brought here to fit into a lineup.
Yeah, because I think he's almost like he's the biggest factor of the replacement of Juan Soto, but I think now it's the depth as well that will
Soto. You're replacing Soto with the aggregate of what you expect to get from everybody else in this lineup as opposed to one player, which I think is going to also lead to some wins for the Yankees because and again, like you keep saying, like everybody's been saying all offseason, myself included, there's ifs. But if you hit on a couple of these ifs, this is a playoff team. You don't have to hit on seven of them. You hit on three or four of them. You know, and like I said, Austin Wells, you know, you can knock Austin Wells being the leadoff hitter all you want. What are you doing his first at-bat today?
Dingy.
And I think he's going to have a monster year this year, but I want to kind of bring this back to Carlos Rodon. Look, we saw how he was in game two of the division series, right? Pumped up, bro. This guy literally busted a nut on the mound in the first inning, and then he got busted up by the Royals after that. He needs to keep his emotions in check. And he did that beautifully today, man. That is what I really took out of this outing more than anything. Is it's Gerrit Cole's not here. We need somebody to step up and be the ace. Like Max Fried is going to be the ace of the staff, right? He's still going to be in his role of what, but somebody really needs to step up above what they were expected to do this year to replace Gerrit Cole. So even though you have expectations for Max Fried, it's like, how much more are you going to expect out of him now that Gerrit Cole's not here? You're just expecting him to do what you expected him to do coming here, right? So who's going to be the guy to step up? You handed this to Carlos Rodon and said, here, start on opening day. Kept himself in check all day, never got overly excited, just pitched and got himself into the sixth inning. And he pitched really well. He did seem kind of tired a little bit, but it's the first game of the year. And he had a dogfight of an at-bat with Reese Hoskins. He couldn't find that one pitch to get him out. Dude, I'll take 5 1/3 runner and run from him every day of the week. Every single day he's on that mound, I will sign for that right now. Do I want him to get deeper into games? Yeah, you would like him. But especially for opening day, you're taking that every day, every damn day.
Taking that, yeah, every time. And it's like, yeah, like you said, it is. See, I don't know how much of it was the way that the spring training lined up for this to be Rodon's day, and they didn't want to maybe maneuver Fried, but they could have if they wanted to, I think. So it is somewhat of a statement to have Rodon be the opening day starter, and the way he presented himself is someone that you want sort of leading the way. And then, and you look at it, he's been there long enough now where as far as this current starting rotation goes, I think he's the longest tenured starter in the rotation right now.
Well, currently, yes. I was going to say we're pull out, but Heel's been here since, I think he made his major league debut in 2021.
All right. So maybe
We forget because he missed 2 years that he's really been up here for a while now. But yeah, especially with the five guys here, he is the longest current tenured Yankee in that rotation. So, and the, you know, and that's one of the things that you like to see. It's like, hey, you've been here 3 years now. We're counting on you with Gerrit Cole out. We need you. And, you know, I know a lot of people like the fire-breathing, piss-and-vinegar Carlos Rodon. I like this Carlos Rodon a lot better. A guy that keeps himself in check, the calm Rodon. Because that guy is focused and pitching well. And this is something they brought up on the broadcast today. And I got to give ESPN a lot of credit. They do a lot of things wrong. They did something right today. This is how you handle a national broadcast. You have your neutral play-by-play guy, and then your two color analysts are one from each of the teams playing. That's how you do it. This way, neither team's fan base feels slighted, and then you get analysis from both teams. Like, because how many times do you see the same tired stories portrayed because those are the national stories? Or if you get somebody in there, like just happenstance covers the Dodgers and the Yankees are playing the Dodgers and everything is Dodgers slanted and they're just regurgitating headlines for the Yankees. Now you're getting up-to-date, current, you know, talking points that you're following with the team, and you get the other team's perspective as well. I wish everybody would do that in the regular season. I know it's kind of harder, and you want your own guys in there for the postseason, so I wouldn't be as mad with that. But this is how you do it in the regular season, especially when we have 45 different streaming services. This is how everybody should do it now. And I wanted to shout out who does this as well. It might have been, I think, when Peacock had the games, they did it, and then Roku had them last year, those 11:30 games.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the ones that do it like this, but everybody needs to adopt this. But then as soon as you say something nice about ESPN, they have a player mic'd up for an entire inning. We have to stop with this stuff, please.
I know. It's a circus.
But what I was saying about Rodon is what they brought up in the broadcast today, is that his 2022 season, he was 95% fastball changeup.
Mm-hmm.
93, 95, somewhere around there. And then last year, in 2024, he was 70. It was either 93 or 95. And then last year, he dropped to 73 to 75. I forget the exact numbers, but it was about a 20-point drop of fastball change. It's fastball slider. He was 95% in 23. I'm going number stupid here. Right. In 2022 with the Giants, let's start this over, Christian. In 2022 with the Giants, he was 95% fastball slider. So he was basically a two-pitch pitcher when he came to the Yankees. Last year, he was in the mid-70s, 73, 75% fastball slider. So that's another important thing for him, is to add that third pitch, which is seemingly going to be his changeup, to get guys off of that fastball slider combo. So I'm encouraged and excited now to see how Carlos Rodon develops throughout the rest of 2025.
Yeah, I mean he's going to have to step up. I'm looking forward to it too. Yeah, and that was something too. I wasn't really excited about him. This game today really made me look forward to his next outing, which, you know, that's exactly what you got to do. Opening day, get me into it. He did it.
And then we move along here to what happened offensively today. You know, I've had my trepidations about Paul Goldschmidt all offseason. He didn't really show anything today to kind of make me change my opinion. But again, it's game one, and he had a slow start to the season last year. So again, as I've said all offseason, the bar is don't be the worst first baseman in Major League Baseball. So that's where my expectation level is with Paul Goldschmidt right now. So I'm not going to take too much out of it. I would have loved to have seen Jason Dominguez do something today. He didn't. But again, it's game one. Not going to make a big deal about it. The two things that I did like seeing today, Austin Wells bang immediately home run. And Anthony Volpe's been a big talking point for me all offseason. I would say my biggest moment from the round table on Tuesday was when I got on my little soapbox about Anthony Volpe. It's something that people that have been listening to this podcast and me on social media have maybe heard 15 times throughout the course of the offseason. This is it for Anthony Volpe here. The leash ends in 2025 for him. I'm sorry. I know the Yankees, he could post another 660 OPS season, and I know because it's the Yankees, he's going to be the opening day shortstop in 2026. But for me, it ends right here. This is it for him. And for him to jumpstart the season with a home run and go an oppo, which I need him to do, that's what his best approach is an encouraging sign for me for Anthony Volpe this year. So I'm happy with Anthony Volpe getting on the board early with a home run today for the Yankees.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. And then, you know, another great point that they made in the broadcast too is Girardi's with Austin Wells batting leadoff. You know, you almost want a guy to lead off the game with power when you have Aaron Judge coming up. Girardi basically said if you have a speed guy, he takes second base, and then what are they going to do with Judge? They're just going to walk him and move on. So that was a great point, and Wells proved him right, you know, right away with that. And another good piece that I saw was Ben Rice. He had a nice ball hit to
he ripped a double and
hit that hard. Well, it was a single, and I think they called it
an error. Did they play it into the double? I saw him hit it, and I would think it was in the middle.
He hit it so hard that it bounced right off the wall, and he was.
Yeah, I think really you're right, because I was in the middle of trying to make dinner at that point. So
and Goldschmidt, it's one game. Let's see how he does. But why did you have to pick number 48?
It's too much for you.
When he's walking back into the dugout, it's like I'm just. And then when they had that that bad play at first. It's like, oh man, it's just like, God, just right away you're going to hit me with that reminder.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him pick another number, but I'm glad that somebody that I like is now wearing 22, because one of my favorite giveaways last year was that Juan Soto basketball jersey. I love that friggin' thing. I wore that thing out last year, and then he left, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Like,
not an Ellsbury one. No.
Like, I'm not wearing it now because nobody else has this number, and then Dom Smith takes the number in spring training. I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of this friggin' thing. And now Rice has it. I'm like, no, now I'm proudly wearing a Ben Rice basketball jersey all summer long.
That's right.
You know, and your brother was busting my balls. He's like, oh, yeah, I heard me glazing Ben Rice. Because I was saying, like, why don't you ever listen to the show you produce? And he's like, yeah, I heard you slobbing on Ben Rice. And do I think Ben Rice is going to be this monster all-star level player? No. What I've said and what I'm going to stick with is when you put Dom Smith and Ben Rice in front of me as the options and – you know, Dom Smith isn't here anymore, to be the DH with Giancarlo Stanton out, I want Ben Rice.
Right.
He's your guy, and he's the guy that you can see a future with. And the Yankees apparently love this guy. They think he could be a five-hole hitter at some point in his career. And he went out there. He put on 10 pounds of muscle. He consistently hit the ball hard all spring training long, and he did so again today. I think he's going to strike out a lot. He's going to frustrate you with that, with his strikeouts. But I also think he's got the power to hit 20-plus home runs. And we got good news on Stan today. He's responding well to the PRP injections. Boone said he's swinging a bat already. And it's being reported he's going to be back this year to play for the team.
All right.
So what are you expecting out of Ben Rice? You know, Memorial Day? I mean, that was told to us best-case scenario. So can I get 10, you know, 2 months out of Ben Rice where he can hit me 8 to 10 home runs and not be a black hole in the lineup? That's what I'm really asking for him. And then maybe against a tough righty, you want to give Stan a day because he's going to need him, even though he's only a DH. Yeah, sure. Give me Ben Rice, man.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, like to your point with him or Smith, it's like, let's go with – at that point, if your other option's Dominic Smith, then yeah, granted, he did have a great spring training. But let's go with the younger guy, the guy who clearly wants it. I think that's a big factor to me, and that's why I love Volpe, is just it's that they're working at it still. It's not, you know, they know they still have more to do, and the you know, putting on that muscle, he looks completely different. The number change, I can't even recognize him out there.
Look, and that's why I want to give Volpe the benefit of the doubt. I know if you only listen to the clips I post on social media, and I do that for, you know, obviously you're gonna pick the things that you feel came out with the most passion during the show, right? And it's not that I'm hating on Volpe or I don't like Volpe. Bro, at my desk here, if you could see it, I'll show it to you right here. We're not on the U right now, but I'll show this to you right here.
Okay.
This is a Topps Now card from his first home run as a Yankee, his first career home run. I was at the game, and this isn't the home run ball, but I got a ball, an actual ball that was used in the game from his first home run game.
That's awesome.
So you can't tell me that I'm not rooting for the kid or I'm not a fan of his. But at the same time, he can't be a guy that's just a bum at the plate. I'm still a fan of his team. I need this kid to produce. And a lot of what I say is because I want him to do it so badly. And like you said, Ryan, he's trying. So I know he's not a 660 OPS because of a lack of trying. I know he wants it. I know the Yankees want it for him. So I know it's not for a lack of trying on either's part here, but he's got to do it this year. It has to happen.
It has to happen. There's so many factors of why it has to happen. They need his offensive production. They passed up on a super class of shortstops for him. And so your expectations are high. I mean, you got the whole memorabilia for him. You don't have that for a guy that you don't expect to be a next great Yankee. So yeah, I mean, and he's the shortstop for the New York Yankees. That is a premier position that needs to really see some output offensively and defensively. And so it's just, again, like they need him to step up. The loss of Juan Soto, the current absence of Giancarlo Stanton, you got to have Volpe step up. I can't wait for that day though when Stanton's back in the lineup and we have four former MVPs in the lineup together, because we got the nickname drop here. The core formers. Core formers. All right, I'm ready to drop that once that Stanton come back, get that tennis elbow fixed, okay?
Gotta get that tennis elbow fixed there. Yeah, the Yankees have been waiting 10 years for the franchise storage stop. So for him to have three terrible seasons in a row is just, it's not anything any of us want. So today was a good start for Anthony Volpe. And I got it, and also here on my desk, you see him?
Oh, I got him on my desk at work.
I was so happy that he was there today to get some love from the fans. He got one of the latter ovations, and I know we're not on NYYU, so that was my Garrett Cole Cy Young bobblehead. I was very happy that he was there today to get some love for the fans. I would say he probably got the second or third loudest ovation, Judge being one. You know,
I missed the opening ceremony stuff.
Gotta say, you gotta give the fans credit. They did give Nestor a nice hand. I would have booed him personally. Okay.
Of course, but you would have.
Nestor's.
I would have cheered him.
I would have given him a pull.
He had a 3.77 ERA last year. That's pretty damn good.
I'm gonna be at the game Saturday. It's gonna be interesting to see how Nestor handles himself if he pulls out any new tricks now against the Yankees.
Oh yeah, now to see that the reverse side of that, maybe he's got a new trick up his sleeve.
You know, those things that you found cute when they were Yankees, even though there were times where the Nestor twirls annoyed me, aren't so cute anymore because I saw the first Soto shuffle in a Met uniform today. I'm like, that is stupid.
What a loser.
That's dumb. Although, did you catch Jazz did it?
I saw.
I didn't see it during the game, but I saw it. I saw somebody post
on social media. Struck out that at bat too, so it's probably the last time.
Yeah, let's retire that.
Okay? He does it as Waldo Cabrera would do it a bit,
but Cabrera did it before.
Yeah, I was going to say Cabrera was doing it. He was doing it for a while. So, yeah, that's funny though. It's going to be a little bit different. You might roll your eyes a little bit more with Nestor doing it. Against the Yankees.
But Jazz did give Cole the credit. He said he's invited to the barbecue.
Yeah, pretty bold statement there. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
I don't know what further language two white guys can use. But...
Yeah, me and Amy. Well, yeah, we're going to watch that, but me and Amy aren't going. I'll do the cooking. I got the slow cooker going.
Maybe although, Cole will do did you see how in the offseason Bryce Harper was doing these like video series of like how to eat healthy and shit?
Yeah, it was
like,
baked out of his mind.
Yeah, so high. But maybe Cole does that.
You know, all right, so today I'm going to teach you how to tie a tie.
One arm tied.
With just one arm.
He's going to do everything with just one arm.
I'm going to teach you how to juggle with just one arm.
Man, my Cole's rusty.
I was happy to see him, but he did look a little depressed, you know, running out there. But I was glad the fans gave him a nice ovation, man. He deserves it. Everything he's done for this organization. And my cousin asked me this, like, am I going to be upset if the Yankees win this year without him? And no, I'm going to be pumped, bro. Like, I'm going to take a World Series.
They won't have won without him. He will be a major part of this regardless, because he's going to be a focal point for the mindset of the pitchers.
It's going to be,
I think regardless, he'll be.
you know, factor. You did feel uplifted a little bit hearing Stan will be back this year, but there's just something about him not being there. And yeah, everybody knows I'm a Gerrit Cole guy. He's my favorite player on the team. You know, my cousin calls me Cuck for Cole. Fine, I'll accept all of it. I will accept every last bit of it. But there's just him not being there, man. I just can't get past that and seeing the Yankees winning a World Series this year. And the same goes for Aaron Judge. Those are the two guys, man. I don't know. They're the cornerstones of this team, man. And that's – I just can't get past it. I don't know.
I'll still take a – World Series, but
I'm
right.
Telling you right now, bro. If they win this year and he's not there, am I going to give it back? No, dude. I'm going to be as happy as I've ever been in my life. I'm not turning back a World Series after it's been 16 years. But I want him to be a part of it. I want him to be a central part of it. And it's gonna suck as big of a fan of his as I am if he's not a part of that, because it's going to bother him.
Yeah, it could, but then he's going to just look at his bank account every 2 weeks and be like, all right, I'm okay.
I understand that, and people always
bring But you're that. Right. The heart, he has a heart factor to it. I mean, even being there today, I get like you would be there for opening day, but I bet we will see a lot of Gerrit Cole in that dugout this year.
And I think it was Weaver or Max Fried, one of the two of them said it. It's like, or it might have been Clark Schmidt. I don't know. One of their pitchers said
that. I think it was Schmidt, though.
It might have been Schmidt now that I got worked it out there. I knew it was one of them.
We just got a good pitching coach or something.
Yeah, he said that. He goes, yeah, it's going to suck that he's not going to pitch for us this year, but we basically picked up a second pitching coach.
Right.
And if you remember last year, when Luis Gil took that next step, it was when Gerrit Cole, you saw him in Tampa, when he taught him about how he's breaking his hands apart.
Yep.
You know, so I think he will be around probably more than a guy with Tommy John would normally be. But again, you know, Yankees are going to want him down in Tampa. Normally they'd send you down to Tampa to rehab, but where are you going this year? You can't go to Tampa to rehab.
That's right.
I don't think
what Gerrit Cole, do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? You can't. I mean, if he wants to go to Somerset in rehab, I got an extra bedroom.
Hey, not a bad move.
I got an extra bedroom, Gary. You can stay here, buddy.
Bunking with Cole.
I know his son was born right after my daughter, and I don't want to play matchmaker or anything, dude. But, you know, get them, you know, get Caden and my daughter being friends and shit, you know, and then, like, I'm double dating with me and my wife with Amy and Garrett.
You definitely thought about this.
Of course I have, bro. What do you? I told you, I will accept every last bit of it.
So, I can't find who said that, though, but I'm pretty sure it was Schmidt.
Pick one of the three of them. It was one of them, and I am leading towards Clark Schmidt now. So, but the Yankees did come away here today with a 4-2 opening day victory. You know, opening day, like I said, it's always going to be special. The Yankees could be projected to win 43 games this year, and today still would have been special. And speaking of teams that win 43 games, the Chicago White Sox, I just saw this, are beating the Angels so badly right now.
Really?
The Angels have a position player on the mound.
Wow. That is, like, and talk about the reverse of just, like, how, imagine being a diehard Angels fan of just, like, because think about it, right? That's the beauty of sports, the optimism. When you go into a new season, it's a clean slate. You never know what to expect, unless if you're an Angels fan. Because that is just, I mean, talk about the worst foot to start on.
I mean, think about, like, the Mets got Soto, and they have all these aspirations, and the Dodgers just basically forming the Avengers of Major League Baseball. And us Yankee fans, even though we have these injuries and we lost Soto, we still have these high expectations. And you're thinking about the Red Sox, and they added to their rotation and got Bregman and Yan and Yan and Yan of all these teams. And then you're an Angel fan, and you're getting your ass kicked by the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball so bad on opening day that you got a position player on the mound. Do you just give up at that point?
I would absolutely. I would have a tough time not at that point.
Because it's not like you're facing the Dodgers and you're losing. If you're facing the Dodgers on opening day and you're losing 9, I think it was 9-0 or 8-0, whatever it was.
Yes, 8-1 final.
And you're throwing a position player out there, okay. But the White Sox?
No.
It's time to pack it in, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it. They have been eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah. But like I said, man, I just want to wrap up the show on this. Like, today is always going to be a special day. Today is opening day. When you it doesn't matter what we went through this offseason. When the Yankees line up on the first base, you know, dugout on the first base line there, and you're hearing them called, the names called, you get the goosebumps. You know, that feeling of why you love this game so much, why you love this team so much, that all comes back to you. And you get that feeling, that hope, that optimism, even if it lasts for one split second, when Carlos Rodon picks up that ball to throw that first pitch of, is this our year? And that new season that you're going to live and die with this team and this group of 26 guys for 7 months is back. Nothing beats that in the entire world.
Nothing,
man. I'm telling you. And my goal as a dad is that and I hope that this isn't for a long time, but when my daughter has to do the unthinkable and put me in the ground and say, there's one thing that I'll take with me of what my dad did. We had opening day together. That was our day. That day was special. And I'm trying my hardest. And today was really the first time that I did the grand gesture type thing. She's going to be 5 next month. And she's in school now. And I don't work on opening day. I don't care, bro. You don't work on. I don't work on opening day, bro. I'm telling you. I don't do it, okay? I made sure I was home, and, you know, I said to myself, like, what can I do today? Because I was just going to send her to school and get her and then be home for the game. And I was like, what would be special for her, though? Picking her up before all her friends leave and taking her to her favorite place, which she's 5 is, or she's going to be 5, is McDonald's and Target.
Great.
So we had lunch at McDonald's, and I took her to Target.
Man, dude.
And, Daddy, why it's opening day? And she kept asking, why are we, it's opening day? The Yankees are back. So if she associates all these things with Yankees, and then, like I said, we took her to games last year, but the games were against the Rockies and the White Sox. People are not getting rowdy against the Rockies and the White Sox.
Right.
You're not drawing sellouts to the Rockies and the White Sox, right? These were safe games to take her to. So I'm probably waiting at least another year, maybe 2 years, and then being at Yankee Stadium on opening day is going to be what we do. Because, like I said, it's not about what the Yankees did or didn't do in the offseason. It's about why we love this team and the people that made us love this team, and now the people that we are passing this down onto. That's what opening day is about. And that's why today will always be special, and today is treated like a holiday in this house. So the day that I come on here, the day that you ever see me not say that, send the police to my house for a welfare check, please.
All right, will do. you hit it. It's so perfectly said there, because that's why I love this game so much. And it's bigger than opening day, too, where it reminds me of family and tradition, of passing something down. And, you know, I wouldn't be a Yankee fan if my dad wasn't a Yankee fan, if his dad wasn't, if my brother wasn't. So It's such a strong connection to family for me. That's why it's just the beauty of this game is exactly what you just said, how now it's this association of the beauty of this sport, because you just connected a family, you know, tradition here, and you brought it together with us through a sport. And that's just, you know, that's just the greatest part of why I love watching baseball. It's because of all of that, the emotion behind it. And it's just that was an awesome way of putting it. And I hope that I know that that's now going to be something in your daughter's life that is going to continue on, where every opening day, that joy is going to be right there with you. So that's that's awesome.
She just comes to expect that she probably will not be in school on opening day next year.
But hey, that's how it starts. And then you get
one of my strongest memories that, you know, and my dad's not here anymore. And this is why I feel so strongly about it, too, is because I don't have that anymore. And he's the reason why I'm a Yankee fan. And his mother was actually the one that started this lineage. So, and I never really knew her because she passed when I was really young. So, you know, and then you're following all the way down here. is that one of my strongest memories is that the Yankees, remember, they weren't in the postseason for a good 14 years. I think 81 was the last time they were in the World Series. So the first time in my lifetime they were in the World Series was in 1995. So my dad came and got me out of school the day before my birthday to go to game one of the division series, the first postseason game that the Yankees had in 14 years, the first postseason game in my lifetime. He took me out of school as a surprise to take me to that game. I'll never forget that. I could have Alzheimer's in 20 years, God forbid, and I guarantee you I'll remember that.
Yeah, there's that lineage and the moments and the history behind the sport. That's why we love it.
So I hope that my daughter has other memories of me, and but I want to have that. I want to have her know that this is a special day, and this is a day that means a lot in this house. This is opening day. The Yankees are back, and they did the right. You know, not to say that the tone of this show maybe would have been a little different, but I would have still came on here and said, despite the loss, blah blah, what I just said. Mm-hmm. They won today. We haven't seen them win in a long time. The last time we saw them on the field, it didn't end so well, okay? Hope springs eternal now. The season is back. The Yankees are back. They got a nice little W here today. The only negative you want to maybe take out of this is a little bit shaky outing for Devin Williams. He got through it. Yankees win. Juan Soto struck out to end the game. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going there. Okay.
No, we're not going to go there. Not going to go there.
I'm sorry. You know, it's a force of habit breaking down Yankee games and talking about Juan Soto did. I got to break that habit.
That's all it is. You're right.
But the Yankees will be off on Friday, and then they're back 105 on Saturday. And I love being able to do this now. Look ahead to the rest of the series here. Max Fried's debut on Saturday against former Yankee Nestor Cortez. I'll be out at the Audi Club on Saturday for NYYU Day. So if anybody's going to be out at the Audi Club, don't be shy. Come say hello. And then they'll wrap up the series on Sunday at 1:35 as Aaron Civale will take on Marcus Stroman. So funny how that works out. I'm a starting pitcher, and he's the number three starter in this rotation.
He was right.
So if you have to ask yourself, does he have a little voodoo doll of Gerrit Cole in his locker?
Yeah, he's really good at manifesting.
So Yankees will be back Saturday. When will we be back? I don't know yet. Maybe Sunday. There is an off day on Monday. No, is there an off day on Monday? No, there's an off day on Monday, so I'm not sure yet. That's why it is so important for you more than ever now to subscribe to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey, so make sure you tell everybody about us. And when you're talking about game one victory for the Yankees, hey, catch the NYYST podcast, the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. So subscribe there on your favorite podcast platform, as I always say. And if you're scrolling on YouTube, make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground as there as well. I want to thank SGR for joining me here tonight as Sem is driving home from the Yankee game. lots of moving parts this year. So as I say, please, I'm going to stress this one more time. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You will not miss a show. They'll be coming far more often than they were on during the golf season, and they're going to be coming on different days. We don't want you to miss anything, so please make sure you are subscribed. We want to thank everybody for the continued support of the NYYST podcast. We want to thank everybody for listening to episode 453. It's all you, SGR. Say goodbye.
Go Yanks. Peace.